then you are right. You're absolutely right. Now let's go back to our initial conversation, Jim said. Instead of thinking of the church as a showroom, okay, think of the church as God's service department. And I agree with Jim. The church is not a showroom. The church is God's service department helping people get back in running condition or in running order with God. That is what church is all about. That is what we call discipleship. Helping people to get back on the right track. That is discipleship. If the church should be helping people getting back in the right order with God, here's the question for all of us. What is your attitude? Okay, what is your attitude towards our wandering brothers and sisters in Christ? What is your attitude towards our brothers and sisters in Christ who fell to sin? Do we criticize them? Do we condemn our brothers and sisters in Christ? Or do we seek to restore them, to help them get back on the right track? The Word of God is calling us as believers, as Christians, as born-again believers. The Bible is calling us to become brothers and sisters keeper. As Christians, we are called to be brothers and sisters keeper. And where can we find that? That is in our last passage in the book of James. And may I invite all of you to please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. James chapter 5 verses 19 to 20. James chapter 5 verses 19 to 20. Here's what the Word of God is saying to us. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you once again for this passage. Lord, this is the last passage in this series based on the book of James. So, Father, I pray, let us learn, Lord God. Let us learn, Lord God, to walk alongside with each other, especially, Lord God, when we know of someone who fell into sin. Lord, may we not condemn them, nor condone their sin, but rather, Lord, help us to really care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And, Father, I pray, help us to have that attitude of humbleness and even gentleness and show love and care to our brothers and sisters. Because, Lord, in the end, Lord, what you want for us is restoration. We want to be restored into a right fellowship with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay? Ayan, meron na. We are now in our last sermon in this, sermon series based on the book of James. Last week, we discussed about prayer. Remember our lesson, pray to God no matter what. If you are suffering, we pray. If you are happy, we pray. If you are weary because of your, whether it's through physical illness, emotional pain, or you are spiritually down, we are called to pray. And we're even asked to call on the leaders of the church or someone to walk alongside with us in prayer. Now, look at what James said in our last passage. Remember, this is what he said in verse 15 of James chapter 5. He said, and if he has committed sins, a brother or a sister has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, this is what he said in our last passage. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you might receive healing. James already gave us a picture of how we should walk alongside with each other. That is what confessing to one another, praying for one another, that is what he meant by that. Again, hindi po kayo kailangan mag-confess po sa akin, lumapit kayo sa akin, that you will ask me, Pastor, forgive us, for we have sinned, hindi po sa akin. Okay, we confess to God because only God can forgive sins. What James is saying here is that we should share our life together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We should walk alongside with each other. And now he will expand more of that in our last passage, especially towards our sinning brother and sister in Christ. Look at what he said in verse 19. He said, "My brothers and sisters, okay, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back." Now, in this concluding section of James' letter, remember, James is talking to the Jewish believers. In other words, he is already talking to the believers, okay? It is very, very important for us to establish that, because again, this is the 19th time that he mentioned the word brothers, or the Greek word adelphos. The Greek word adelphos, even though it's in masculine form, that is why it was translated here as brothers, but it means siblings. So literally, we can translate that brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the 19th time. And for each chapter, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, up to chapter 5, James always mentioning brothers or adelphos in Greek. Wow, why am I saying this? Because there are scholars, okay, Bible scholars, that say that, well, especially the wandering here, that if someone among you wanders from the truth, they say that James is talking about a professing believer, quote unquote professing believer. Well, I respectfully disagree with them, because clearly James is talking about believers. These are already brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember this. It is sad to say that sometimes we judge someone's salvation based on works. But let me be clear on this, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It is not by our works. And even our assurance, yes, I understand that our good works is important after salvation. It is important. We discussed that when we talk about the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? But let me be clear on this, that our assurance is not based on our works. It may be corroborating evidence, but the primary assurance of our salvation is based on the promise, based on the promises of what the Word of God is saying to us, because the Scripture is clear. Look at what in the book of John, it says here, "But these are written," referring to the gospel according to John, "so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name." It is by believing, putting your trust in Him, not by works. You can have life, eternal life, by believing in Christ and Christ alone. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says there, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." The means by which you will appropriate the grace of God, the gift of God, is through faith in Christ. It is not your own doing, not a result of works, Paul said, so that no one may boast. So we are not saved by works, rather we are saved by grace through faith in Christ. Now, don't get me wrong with this. Grace is not a license for us to commit sin. Okay, let me be clear on this. Grace is not a license for us to sin. What we are talking here is how to become a Christian, how to get saved, how to have a relationship with God, and our assurance when it comes to our salvation. That's why we say it's by grace, through faith in Christ. And once you put your trust in Christ, the Bible is clear, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, through faith in Christ Jesus. So we are talking about believers. When James said, "My brothers," okay, if someone wanders from the truth, so even that someone, it refers to the word brothers, okay, brothers and sisters in Christ. That is why some scholars also said, like Warren Wiersbe, he said, the sinner here in James chapter 5, verse 19, is a believer, not an unbeliever. And sin, listen to this, church, sin in the life of a Christian is worse than sin in the life of an unbeliever. We expect the unsaved people to sin, but God expects His children to obey His word. Now, again, what is happening here? James said, if someone among you someone among the community of brothers and sisters go astray. That is what he is talking about. Wanders from the truth. It means to proceed without a sense of proper direction, to walk aimlessly without direction, walking without direction. And he also used that word in James chapter 1, verse 16, when James said, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers." So it is possible for a brother or for a sister, for a Christian, for a believer, to wander from the truth, to be deceived by the enemy, to walk aimlessly in their Christian life. That is what wandering from truth means. Truth here means the content of the truth. Wandering from what the Bible is saying to us. And in our modern day time, we call it backsliding. So it's possible for a brother or for a sister to backslide, to grow cold in their intimacy with God, to grow cold in their fellowship with God. Now, to go astray, to walk aimlessly. When James uses this word, he was probably thinking of how the Israelites wander from the truth. Remember, even though they know Yahweh, they experience Yahweh, they still went after other gods. And mind you, it's not an overnight thing. It's a process of wandering away from the truth. Now, to give you a picture in today's language, I want you to think of a beach right now. Although I know summer is over, okay? Just try to think of a beach, okay? You're there with your floater. Alam niyo ba yung salbabida? Diba? Try niyo humiga doon sa salbabida. Just there, sure, wala kayong gagawin, and you just let the wave carry you. Kapag nakatulog kayo doon, diba? Without you knowing, slowly, lumalayo ka na doon sa shore. So the same is true in our life. It's not an overnight thing that when you are already there in sin. It's slowly. The process is slowly. And there's another illustration that I like for this. You know, do you know this? The frog in a kettle. They say in an experiment, when you put a frog in a kettle and slowly you hit him, hindi yan aalis eh. Yeah, slowly, doon ka lang sa maligamgam na tubig, unti-unti mo siyang pakukuluan, din aalis. And that sometimes is a picture of a Christian. Yung mga little compromises. We call it the little sin in our lives. Small compromises. Parang tayo yan. Pinapakuluan tayo, hindi mo na nararamdaman. And slowly, sin is eating up our lives. Sin, it will lead us to death. Those little compromises in our lives, without you knowing, you are already wandering from the truth. You are now walking aimlessly from your Christian life because of those little compromises in your life. Now, what is our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ? Look at what James said. Someone brings him back. If someone wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, of course, that someone is also a believer. Okay, someone brings him back, it means it's a picture of repentance, a change of mindset. Okay? We need to help someone who is in sin. We need to help him to change his mindset towards sin and towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, once he changed his mindset towards sin, the behavior will follow. It starts with our mind. That's why one commentary said, the wandering ones need to be brought back to the fold. And James referred here not to evangelism, but to restoration. It is not evangelism because we're talking about believers. Okay? For the unbelievers, we need to evangelize them. Okay? That is what we are doing also here in GCF Nuvali. We need really to evangelize. We need to spread the gospel. We need to preach the gospel. But for the believers, we still need to preach the gospel. But for our restoration. In this context, again, this is a brother or a sister in the Lord who wanders from the right path. And we are here to help him to restore his fellowship with the Lord. Church, let me be clear on this. If you are now a believer, you have a relationship with God. What is being lost every time we commit sin is our fellowship with God. Sometimes we call it our intimacy with God. Okay? Relationship, it's intact. Because again, it's by grace, through faith, in Christ. It's not by our works. But every time we commit sin, we lose our fellowship with Him. We grow cold in our fellowship with Him. It's like this, for your parents and children. Diba, kapag ang anak nakagawa ng kasalanan, anak mo pa rin ba yun? Yes, diba? Hindi naman magbabago yung relationship. But yung fellowship nyo as parents, and minsan may problema. Alam natin yan, pag may problema, may tampuhan yan. Growing cold. Pero anak mo pa rin. Tatay ka pa rin or nanay ka pa rin. The same is true with God. He is still our Father, but ang problema, broken yung fellowship natin. And we need to restore that brother or sister into a right fellowship with the Lord. David Jeremiah said, Christians do not live to themselves. When one part falls away, the entire body suffers. Therefore, church, listen to this. Therefore, they must do what they can to help, not to criticize, not to condemn, but rather to help fellow Christians remain true to the faith. Now, let me give you some principles on how, okay, we can help. If you know someone who fell into sin, kaya minsan nga po, ito yung problema. Kapag talaga nandun tayo sa kasalanan, sometimes we are ashamed. Diba? Now, to go to church, to be in fellowship, may ginagawa eh. Now, if you know someone like that, hindi mo naman talaga agad din madadala. May nandun yung shame eh, because of sin. This is what we need to do, but we need to help them. Okay? Here are some principles, guiding principles. First, remember to pray. Remember what the Word of God is saying to us, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So, before you go to a brother or sister, you pray. You pray. Okay? Second step is to remember to self-examine. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, Jesus said, in the context of making judgment, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Be sure that when you approach a sinning brother or sister, it should be without pretense. Meaning, you should be clear on that issue itself. Baka mamaya yun din naman pala yung issue mo, kinukorek mo. You are like a hypocrite. Be sure that is not also your issue. So, there should be self-examination. Then, once you will now correct a sinning brother or sister, remember the word gentleness. Because the Word of God says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, meaning a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. No condemnation, but in the spirit of gentleness, because we are to help them to get back on the right track. And also remember to always be humble. Because again, on that verse, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says there, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says here, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Baka minsan, di ba, akala natin, hindi sa akin mangyayari yan. One day, makikita mo, nandun ka na rin. So remember to be humble when you are correcting someone. And remember that restoration, it is in the context of love. In Matthew chapter 18, that is what we call the discipline passage. It starts with Matthew chapter 18, I think in verse 10. It started with verse 10 and ends with in verse 35. Okay, that is the whole discipline passage. We just know chapter 18, verse 15. If someone
sin against you, go one-on-one and then take someone with you. We know that passage. But this is what we miss. That passage, that discipline passage is sandwiched between the two. First is the parable of the lost sheep. That is a picture of love and care. And then discipline. And then the passage after the discipline, that is when Peter asked our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, how many times will I forgive? And Jesus said, how many times? 70 times 7. So the discipline passage, it is sandwiched between love and forgiveness. Meaning, when we go, when we approach our brother and sister, it should be in love and forgiveness, not in condemnation. We should not criticize him or her for what he has done, but rather we should show care and forgiveness. Because again, restoration, discipline, it is in the context of love. And lastly, you should remember that we should walk alongside with them. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. And this is what also what our passage is saying to us, brings him back. Someone brings him back. If you know someone, then walk alongside with him or her. Help him or her to be restored in a right fellowship with God. Now, what about those who are being restored? If you are the sinning brother or sister, what are you going to do? If you are that erring brethren, okay, here's what you need to do. You must repent. Based on Psalm 51, here's the principle on how we should repent. If you have sin in your life right now, the call for you is to repent. Okay? Here's what you need to do. Attain a broken spirit, just like David in Psalm 51. Second, you need to appeal to God's grace and loving kindness. Remember, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Then acknowledge your filthiness. Don't be stubborn. My dear brothers and sisters, acknowledge your sin. Accept your wrongdoing before the Lord. Admit your helplessness before the Lord. Ask God to restore you. And lastly, add a word of blessing to those who have been affected by your sin. That's part of repentance. Okay? So both, to those who are helping, meron tayong application. And to those who are erring, brother, sister, here's your application. You repent. If someone already approached you, don't harden your heart. Repent of your sin so that you get back on the right track. Someone will give a testimony in relation to our passage today, so let me call on our dear brother, Brother J.B. Ursha.
And good morning, bro. I came to know Christ 9 years ago and fully accepted him through baptism in December of 2009. All things are going well with me since then, and I continue on professing my faith as a Christ's follower through serving in different ministries. I was actively serving as one of the worship leaders and a youth leader from my previous church. I was hired in one of the good company in LISP in Cabuyao, receiving decent pay in a good position. I have a loving family and a fiancé that supports me in whatever decisions I make. All things are going well with me that I was not able to notice that it had all gone up to my head and I was much drowned in pride. It all dawned on me mid-2015 when all things around me turned upside down. I was put into the test that everything I had was taken little by little. So parang sinabi ni Pastor kanina, little by little talaga yung effect ng sin sa life natin. And my health is deteriorating. I started to have problems sa thyroid, sa blood sugar ko and sa blood pressure ko that at an early age, I was already taking medicines for maintenance. I also started to have problems in my workplace na umabot sa point na I needed to resign because of my pride. Also, I had problems with debt, as in sobrang lubog ako sa utang just to satisfy all my needs, all my wants, not my needs. And my relationship with my fiancé then was on the rocks that it led to us breaking up. Kunyari pa noon, sigad muna nung after namin maghiwalay and umabot pa sa point na parang inisip ko na gusto ko sanang magpastor. But I just used the church to sugarcoat me entering into another relationship na walang label while I still continue to pursue and fix my relationship with my fiancé. I even engaged into premarital sex and I did that while I'm still serving in the ministry, while I'm still attending growth groups, and while I am still actively participating in other church activities. Little did I know that what I was doing will have lifetime consequences that would hurt most the people that I love and those people who supported me. Early 2016, all the problems, hurt, and trials unexpectedly piled up. Things started to crumple right in front of me, that I can't even control them. And yung scene, like garbage, kahit anong pagtatago natin, kahit anong pagtatakip natin sa kanila, aalingasaw at aalingasaw yung amoy nito. I thought at that time na kakayanin kong ayusin lahat ng ito, all by myself. And I was just really lost at that time. I started to distance myself from my family, then my church, and then from God. I never prayed to God for His help. And what's worse, isinisi ko pa lahat ng nangyayari sa life ko, sa Panginoon. But it was then, when I was about to lose hope in everything, nagpakita ng light at hope ang Panginoon sa akin. Ang Panginoon mismo ang gumawa ng opportunity para mapag-usapan namin ng parents ko yung mga nangyari sa akin. Then God put into our hearts the decision na lumapit kami kay Pastor Erwin para i-open sa kanya yung lahat ng mga nagawa kong kasalanan at pagkakamali. It was so painful na aminin lahat ng aking pagkakamali. But really, we cannot hide anything from the Lord, for He is an all-knowing God. And dun pala talaga yung simula ng work ng Panginoon na He will pick me up from the garbage that I was in. After opening myself up, I started to feel His comfort and I agreed to undergo restoration with Pastor Erwin. At first, I thought to myself na restoration is just a process for me to be okay with myself again. But it was during that restoration that I really understood what it really means to be a Christian. I started to see the gravity of sin and how sinful I am in the eyes of the Lord. I slowly came to truly know the holiness of our God and who He really is in my life. I started to really know what dependence on God means. Sa restoration process, I came to understand that our relationship with the Lord will never be cut off, but it is our fellowship with Him that is hindered by our sin. It also came to me that I also need to forgive myself for my sins so that I can move on to what God has in store for me. Naalala ko pa yung unang passage na shinare sa akin ni Pastor on our restoration. The passage on 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. That passage had given me a starting point on my journey for restoration. It showed me that there is no darkness or sin in the presence and being of our God. It also taught me that God is a forgiving God to us. But we need to do our part. We need to confess and to repent our sins before Him. I also realize that we humans tend to deceive ourselves. We can have fellowship with God even while we sin. We tend to be licentious na patatawarin din naman ako ng Panginoon. Kaya tuloy-tuloy pa rin sa paggawa ng kasalanan. Through my restoration, I learned how to face my sins and its consequences and hindi ito takasan. God showed me how sweet it really is to be in His presence na walang tinatago sa Kanya. Through this restoration, God not only healed me spiritually, He also showed me His love through the people around me, most especially my family. He taught me na kahit anong sama ng ugali ko, may ibibigay at ibibigay ang Panginoon na makakaramay nating mga tao at mga brethren natin na sila yung magpapatunay ng pagmamahal ng Panginoon sa atin. Pinakita din ni God ang forgiveness niya through my fiance, Jen, na I have sinned against her, but she and her family forgave me fully na parang wala akong nagawang pagkakamali sa kanila. Proof that total forgiveness is possible. I know better now that I am not deserving of God's love or anyone's love. But God really is a forgiving God. God is a patient God na up till now, He's working upon me. He does not keep any records of my mistakes. He taught me that only through Him I can do all things, even winning against temptation and the enemy. I know that it is not my works that would determine my salvation, but sobrang sarap sa feeling na alam kong ako'y saved, and at the same time, wala akong pretensions sa life ko towards God. It really is only by the grace of God na nakakatayo ako ngayon sa harapan niyong lahat. God really is so faithful. Though I have sinned much against Him, He restored me and forgave me from my sins. He provided me with all that I need, even my wants at times. He surrounded me with people, friends, and churchmates that made me feel how good and awesome our Lord is. And again now, I can praise and worship our God through this church, GCF Nuvali. Ang buhay ko ngayon ay kaya ko na muling i-offer sa Kanya. Now, I am more sensitive on His leadings and on how His will is processing onto my life. My ears and heart are now always ready to listen to what He says. May everyone here see my life as an example of how gracious, how merciful, and how loving really is our Father. That our God is the God of second chances. And just like how the song goes, nothing can really separate us from God's love. No sin or any other thing. We are all called to be restored in Him. So let's all turn to God and don't turn away. Thank you.
In the church, that is the beauty of what we call discipline. Okay? Sometimes kasi ang kinakatakutan po natin ay yung salitang discipline. But discipline, literally, it just means restoration. Now I understand before, back in the 80s, when they say discipline, when especially for the erring brother or sister, takot sila dyan. Why? Kasi iyaharap sa harapan yan eh. And in my subject right now in Christian counseling, the professor said, it's very traumatic for that person and even for the church. That's why we know the process. Let's follow the mandate of what the Word of God is saying. Matthew chapter 18 starts with one-on-one, then bring two before you go to the church. Kapag okay na doon sa one-on-one, or ayaw pa, di ba, just a handful of people, then okay na yun. Just like what happened to our dear brother, Brother JB. So it's a picture of restoration. When we, again, for our sinning brother and sister, this is my encouragement. If someone already approached you, don't harden your hearts. Don't harden your heart and repent. And for us who are helping, remember, it is in the attitude of love and forgiveness, not with condemnation. Because look at the result that was given by James here. It says, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering, it says there, will save his soul from death. Now, the word soul there in Greek, it has a lot of nuances. Here in this context, it only means life on earth, our physical life. Okay, that is what soul here means. And the word death there, because we already established that we're talking about believers. So we're not talking about eternal death, but rather we are talking about physical death. Okay. Did you know that our sin, it could really lead to physical death? Just to give you an example, when it comes to sexual sin, what if you committed STD, AIDS? It will literally lead to sin. And throughout the scripture, look at the encouragement with regards to physical death, with regards to the saints in Corinth, this is what the Apostle Paul said. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. And look at the result. That is why many of you are weak, ill, and some have died. That is the ultimate discipline that we can receive from the Lord. Physical death. And 1 John chapter 5, it says here, if anyone sees his brother, again, we're talking about believers, committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask God, and God will give him life. But to those who commit sins that do not lead to death, but there is sin that leads to death. He's talking about physical death, the ultimate discipline from the Lord. So if we restored an erring brother or sister, diba? Nakatulong pa tayo. Kasi kung hindi, kung magpapatuloy yan sa kasalanan, the ultimate discipline that a believer could receive from the Lord is death. Physical death. Para hindi ka na maka-impluensya pa. That is the purpose. Ba't ka kinukuha na ni Lord? Kasi baka ma-impluensyahan mo pa yung iba na believer. That's why that is the ultimate consequence. And not only save from death, it says here, will cover a multitude of sins. That phrase, cover a multitude of sin, that is a picture of forgiveness. That is why the word biblical commentary, it says the phrase covering of sins implies forgiveness. And the concept of a plurality, many of sins, suggests the extent of God's forgiveness. That is what Brother JB is telling us. God is a forgiving God. Look at how loving our Father is, how forgiving our Father is, which remarks on the wideness of God's mercy. So what should be our attitude toward our wandering brother or sister? Do we need to criticize them? Do we gossip them? Or do we help them to be restored in a right fellowship with the Lord? Let me end with this, with what John MacArthur said towards the forgiveness. The good news of the gospel is that God's forgiving grace, which is greater, let me tell you, God's forgiving grace, it is greater than any sin, is available to those who turn from their sins and exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because we have sinned, therefore we cannot save ourselves from the judgment of God. But here's the good news, my friend, especially if this is your first time here in GCF New Valley, here's the good news. Because of God's love, mercy, and grace, He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for your sin and for my sin, which we can never, ever, ever repay. And Christ's finished work, it satisfied God's cry for justice.
Because of our sin, God is crying for justice. And Jesus Christ satisfied all of it. That is through his perfect sacrifice. That is why now we say there is forgiveness in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So my friend, this is my call for you. In order for you to have a relationship with God, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It is only through Jesus Christ. So put your trust, your faith, your confidence in Christ and Christ alone. And the promise, if you put your trust in Him, the promise is you will have life, eternal life. Now for us who are already saved, you already profess your faith on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, what is our call? We should become brother's keeper. Our brother's and sister's keeper. Again, let me just repeat our application. Okay? For a brother's and sister's keeper, here's what we need to do. Remember to pray. Remember to self-examine first before you correct someone. Remember the word gentleness as you are correcting someone. Remember to be humble. Remember, restoration should be in the context of love, not punishment, but it is in the context of love. Remember to walk alongside with each other. And for our sinning brethren, here's what you need to do. Attain a broken spirit. Appeal to God's grace and loving kindness. Acknowledge your filthiness, your sin before the Lord. Accept your wrongdoing before God. Admit your helplessness. Ask God to restore you and add a word of blessing to those who have been affected by your sin. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord God, that your word really encourages us to help, especially our sinning brother and sister, not to condemn them, Lord God, or even to condone their sin, but rather, I pray, Lord, steer our hearts, Lord, to be of help to someone, helping them to get back on the right track, Lord God, not to walk aimlessly from the Christian truth, but rather to get back on the right track, to walk, Lord God, according to your ways. And for us, Lord, help us not to fall into sin. Help us, Lord, to always guard ourselves against sin. Help us, Lord God, to be known as a loving church. Indeed, Lord, this church, GCF Nuvali, we are not a showroom, Lord God, but rather this church is helping one another to get back on the right track. We are your service department, Lord. Just like what you have said in your word, you did not call the well, but you have called the sick to come to repentance. So that is what the church is all about, Lord. We are here to help one another to be restored in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.